This is Pastor Mike, and I want to welcome you to CD 4, entitled The Vanishing Point. Without a doubt, the hope of every Christian, every believer around the world is the rapture of the church. I'm going to talk about that over these next few minutes. Sit back and enjoy what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back and takes his church away. You stand with me for the reading of God's word. If you would go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. While you're doing that, I want to say how good it is to see Ann and Mark here this morning. This is Brother Bohannon's daughter, as you know, her husband. And I saw a couple of new faces. I've seen some faces I haven't seen in 3 or 4 weeks. I was getting ready to send the posse. And you know who I'm talking about too, don't you? But I'm so glad you're in the house of God today. This is part 4 of a series that I've been preaching entitled, What You Don't Know Can Kill You. This is going to be an exciting day today. I'm going to be talking about the vanishing point. The vanishing point. It is our custom to read together. We will begin reading in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, verses 13 through 18. Many of you have heard these passages read many, many times at this graveside. But I want us to read them today, and I want you to help me read. I want you to just bold it out and let God hear you read his word back to him, because this is word that he sent to us to comfort us and to give us hope. So let's read together. If you're there, you're excited about God's word, shout, I am. Here we go. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. These words. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. The rapture. Caught up. The vanishing point. God bless you. Thank you for helping me read the word. You may be seated. A few years ago, one of the most popular CBS TV shows probably received the highest ratings of any show that CBS had put on in years was a fictional drama called Without a Trace. Maybe you saw it. It was set in New York City, where a special FBI missing persons division investigates the disappearance of one person every week. Although in reality, no such agency exists in the FBI, the show does touch on reality by providing public service information at the end of the show to help the FBI locate real-life missing persons. Another popular show was built on the same theme, was aired on Fox. It was simply called Vanished. It is about a Georgia senator whose wife apparently vanished into thin air. After 13 episodes, the show failed to attract enough viewers and consequently was canceled, having never resolved the mystery of her disappearance. You see, there is something riveting about people who go missing. It grabs our attention as well as our emotions. Can I tell you, and maybe you think this is foolish, but I have literally prayed that the Lord would help me find one of those missing children that we see displayed on milk cartons or billboards across the nation. I've literally driven down roads after seeing those signs and looked for those children. But can I declare this morning that according to the Word of God, this Bible that I hold in my hand, a time is coming when this very thing will happen on a massive global scale. A day is coming when a billion plus people will suddenly vanish from the face of the earth without a trace. And hear me, when it happens, calling the FBI will be of no use. A TV series based on the mystery will never provide a conclusion. For all these vanished people will never be seen until the Lord Himself returns with all His saints. This vanishing point is what we Christians call the rapture. And yet many people have little or no idea what it means or what will bring it about. So in this sermon today, I hope to answer those questions. According to the Word of God, on that day called the rapture or the catching away of the saints, millions upon millions of people will disappear from the face of the earth in a moment. The Bible calls it in the twinkling of an eye. Someone, one time, some scientist attempted to measure the twinkling of an eye. It was 187 thousandths of a second, a millisecond. The reason that God is doing massive evacuation is to protect His people. Those who have been washed in the blood. Those who have been born again, confessed their sins. He is going to remove us from this earth to protect us from the disastrous effects that are coming immediately following that upon the earth. Pastor, I thought it was so we could go to heaven. Well, that is true, but God, knowing what is about to happen on this planet, He is protecting us by removing us. Are you with me? Imagine this. Immediately following this event, the rapture, the catching away, jumbo jets will be plummeting to the earth because they no longer have a pilot. Driverless buses, trains, subways, and cars will cause unimaginable disaster. Classrooms will be suddenly without teachers. Doctors and nurses will seem to abandon their patients in the middle of surgical operations. And even patients will vanish from operating tables. Children disappearing from their beds and babies from their cribs. Can you see it? People running through the streets looking for missing members who were just there moments ago. Panic gripping every household, every city, and every nation around the world. Not long ago, I remember seeing an imaginary newspaper article that was covering the recent vanishing point. It read like this. At 12:05 last night, a telephone operator reported three frantic calls regarding missing relatives. Within 15 minutes, all communications were jammed with similar inquiries. A spot check around the nation found the same situation in every city. Sobbing husbands sought information about the mysterious disappearance of wives. One husband reported, "I turned on the light to ask my wife if she remembered to set the clock, but she was gone. Her bedclothes were there. Her watch was on the floor. She had vanished." An alarmed woman calling from Brooklyn tearfully reported, "My husband just returned from the late shift. I kissed him and he just disappeared in my arms." Oh, I know this is a very disturbing picture, but can I tell you it is a real picture of what is to come. Do you realize that it has been prophesied by men inspired of the Holy Spirit, and it will be taking place, and there is absolutely no denying it. But for those of us who belong to Christ, we need not fear this event called the rapture. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, 1 through 3. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also." Oh, somebody give him praise for that hope and that promise. Before I go any farther, let me make something perfectly clear for you. According to the scripture, in the last days there will be two appearings of our Lord. One is called the rapture, another is called the second coming. Now understand this, because this is important. With the rapture, this vanishing act that will take place first, only the believers, those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus, will see Christ. But his second coming will be a public event. For the Bible says in Revelations 1 and 7 that when he comes the second time, that he will come with all of his saints and every eye shall see him. So here's how it works. At the rapture, the stealth event that will happen in a millisecond, only believers, dead and alive, will be taken away. We will immediately go to heaven, that place John said that is prepared for us. And the Bible says that we will be with Christ for 7 years, while all hell is breaking out on planet Earth. And then at the end of that 7 years, we will return with him at the second coming. This will usher in what we call the millennium, that 1,000-year space of time that we will reign with Christ on the earth. So first is the rapture. According to the New Testament, this event called the rapture could take place at any moment. The Bible says that no one, not even Jesus himself, only his Father knows the day and the hour that it will take place. So what does the Bible say about the rapture? It was Apostle Paul who was the first to reveal the details of the rapture. It was to the church at Thessalonica that he presented his most concise teaching on the subject. We read the text together. Everything we need to know about the rapture is found in verses 13 through 18. Let's take a closer look. In verse 13, he says, "I do not want you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep." Notice he uses the word sleep to describe those who have died in the faith. When you translate the word sleep from the Greek, it comes from a word komoa, which means to sleep in death. The same word was used to describe Lazarus, Stephen, and David, even Jesus Christ himself. You see, the early Christians adopted this word, komeo. When speaking of the burying places for their loved ones, they called those places komentarian, a sleeping place, from which we get the English word cemetery. What Paul was saying is this: Do not allow the death or the sleeping of your loved ones to cause you to sorrow as others who have no hope. For they are only sleeping temporarily in a place of rest, ready to be awakened by the return of the Lord. Did you hear me? You see, death to the saint of God is only a temporary sleep, not a tragic finality. Oh my God, can I get a praise from somebody in the house? Now watch this. Paul confirms the coming out of this temporary sleep by telling the church in verse 14. The reason we know this is going to happen is because the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, he also died and went to sleep. But know this, he woke up, he got up, he rose up into the same heavens, and this same Jesus is going to do the same thing for those who sleep in him. Now notice this. Paul did not forbid us to grieve. It is natural to feel sorrow. Matter of fact, I would question your love if you did not mourn over the loss of someone you cared for. Even Jesus himself wept at the tomb of Lazarus. But hear me this morning. Even in our grief, there is hope. Oh, you're not helping me this morning. There is a promise from our Lord that declares that if you die in the faith, that surely you will live again. And if Jesus said it, I believe it. And it's so. Somebody give him praise. Now, notice. In verse 15, Paul writes, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord." Notice that he confirms that what he is saying is by divine authority. He declares that we who are alive at his returning will not prevent or precede those who are asleep. In other words, those who have died in the faith have a place of priority. They receive the honor of going first. Isn't that marvelous? Then verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God." Now I want you to get this picture. This is important. The Lord Jesus is seated in heaven right now at the right hand of the Father. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
But at the right moment, at the command of his Father, Jesus himself will initiate the rapture by literally and physically rising from the throne, stepping into the corridors of light and actually descending into the atmosphere of planet Earth from which he rose into the heavens over the Mount of Olives some 2,000 years ago. It is the Lord himself who is going to draw believers into the heavens in the rapture. Paul even describes the sounds that would be heard. He speaks of a shout, the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God. Now there has been unending discussion on these sounds. Some believe that the shout is for the church. The voice is for the Jews. And the trumpet is for the Gentiles. But that is not so. Paul is not describing three separate sounds, but only one sound in three separate ways. John 11 says that when Jesus stood at Lazarus' tomb, he shouted, "Lazarus, come forth." There was not three separate sounds, just one. Well, this time, he will not just shout Lazarus' name. He will just shout. And every believer will hear his voice simultaneously, and all those tombs will be emptied in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Notice I said, every believer will hear his voice. Those who have died without the Lord will remain in the grave to be raised later to stand before the white throne judgment. Then notice what he says in verse 17. Then we who are alive will be caught up together with them. Who? Those that just got out of the grave. I love this. In a millisecond, millions of people from all parts of the earth will begin to feel a tingling sensation pulsating through their bodies. They are suddenly energized. All those physical deformities are healed. Oh my God. The blind begin to see. Wrinkles disappear on the elderly. They are lifted into the heavens. Those in buildings pass right through the ceiling and the roof without obstruction. Their flesh and bones seem to dematerialize, defying all known laws of physics and biology as they travel heavenward. They begin to see others they know, maybe even family members who have risen from the dead. And after a brief mystical union, they all vanish from sight. Now listen to me. There are actual recorded writings of those who have already experienced something very similar to the rapture. In Hebrews, we read of a man by the name of Enoch who was there, and then he was gone. In 2 Kings, we read of Elijah, who was there, and then suddenly he was gone into the heavens by a whirlwind. Paul wrote of a time when he was caught up into a place he called the third heaven, a place referred to as paradise, and he heard and he saw things he could not express with words. You see, my friends, we already have prototypes of sorts to show that God can accomplish this coming event that he has promised to his people. So here is the sequence. Dead or sleeping bodies reunited with their spirits. Resurrected believers reunited with living believers. Resurrected believers and raptured believers meet the Lord in the air. Paul said that when it all happens, there will be no more separation. After this reunion, we will live uninterrupted with our friends, our families, saints of old, David, Abraham. But most of all, we will be with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Not just a reunion, but an eternal reunion. Oh, glory be to God. That is the promise of the Lord. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. That's why I love what Paul said in verse 18. Comfort. one another with these words. You see, my friends, no matter what you're going through, take comfort. Because in a little while, Brother Castile, it's all going to be over. No matter how much pain you may have suffered, take comfort. In a few more days, it's all going to be over. No matter how bad your heart has been broken, take comfort. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it's all going to be over. So what do we do until then, Pastor? Two things. We're going to keep looking for the Lord. And we're going to keep living for the Lord. Look over at your neighbor, say, you got to keep looking and keep living. Titus 2:13, Paul said, keep looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great Savior, Jesus Christ. In Philippians, he wrote, we are not of this world, but we are citizens of heaven who are eagerly awaiting for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, friends, it's really not about here. It's about the hereafter. We are not just looking, but we are living for the Lord. Peter said, since everything we see and have in this world will soon be dissolved, make sure that you live in purity and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. And the last verse of Revelation 21 says it all. Nothing or no one shall enter into that place who are defiled, who is full of hate or full of lies. Only those whose name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And then the last words that Jesus ever recorded is this, and I'm paraphrasing a little. You better look for me, and you better live for me, for surely I am coming quickly. Amen. So there you have it. That's the truth of the matter. There's no debate. There's no discussion. It's all signed, sealed, and now it has been delivered to you. Now the question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to live for the Lord and look for the Lord, or are you going to die in your sins? I'm so glad that we still live in a time where there's still mercy and there's still grace. No matter how cruel or wrong or sinful you have been, there is still enough blood of Jesus to wash you white as snow. The Bible said if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, you shall be saved. You can go with us, or you can wait for us to come back. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when the vanishing point takes place, don't look for me. I won't be here. I will be in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody, get on your feet and give him praise. Hallelujah. I would be so remiss in my duty. I tell you, I'm giving out an altar call this morning unlike any altar call I've ever given in my life. You cannot tell me, if you're sitting there with any sin in your heart, that you haven't felt the touch and the pricking of the Holy Spirit. You felt it. He's here. He has come with compassion. He has come with mercy. He has come with love to rescue you and to save your soul and forgive you of any unforgiven sin. I'm opening these altars up not just to sinners. I'm opening this altar up to anyone who has any sin in your heart. If there was any doubt in my mind that there was any sin in my heart, I'd make my way to this altar. I want to be right when Jesus comes. If you are a saint or sinner and you need forgiveness in your heart, get out of your seat. Come to this altar right now. Do it right now in the name of Jesus. Kneel at this altar and confess your sins right now. Come on, hurry, hurry. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait. Do you need forgiveness? Do you need forgiveness? Come right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, come right now. Just bow at this altar. If you don't know how to pray the prayer, Pastor Michael will help you pray it. Come on right now in Jesus' name. Pastor, I need forgiveness. Search your heart right now. Search your heart. 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 Those of you at this altar, just ask Him to forgive you. Just ask Him to search your heart right now. If there be any unclean thing in me, oh God, I confess it right now, Jesus. Willful, unwillful, even unknown sins, I confess them right now to you, God. I want to be pure and holy before you, oh God. So forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. What can wash away?